Blog Talk Radio.
This is Evangelist Hannah with Kingdom Builders International. I thank God for all the ones that have called in and for all our internet listeners. Glory be to God. Continue to listen to the music, and I will return.
Thank you.
somebody and tell them how much you need it. Tell God how much you need. How many know we can't make it without Him? We need to press up your presence. We need your anointing. Oh, we need it. Come on, everybody. Come on, lift your hands up all over the place. Tell them how much you need Him. Oh, we need God. Come on and bless His name. Oh God.
Glory to God. We truly need Him. We truly need His Spirit to fall upon us. Because nothing we can do for the body of Christ, we cannot do anything in our own strength. Glory to God. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and allow the Spirit of God to work in you. Again, this is Evangelist Hannah. Glory to God. We have a general in the Army of the Lord. Bishop Odell McFarland Jr. is going to come forth tonight with a powerful word from God. He is the Bishop of God Harbors for All Souls. His son, Bishop McFarland III, I may have got that backwards, is the pastor. You can go to www.godsharborforallsouls.org and look at the website. It'll tell you all the service times. It will give you the phone number. Glory be to God. Every time I go in fellowship with them, I get fed. It's a loving ministry. Glory to God. So at this time, Bishop, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly, man of God. Praise God. I thank God for you. It's just a pleasure just hearing your voice. Glory be to God. I'm looking forward to the word that God has in your belly for tonight. So at this time, I yield the line to you, man of God.
Well, God bless you, Evangelist. It's such an honor and a privilege to come before God's people to present them the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And I thank you for the invitation. It's always an honor to come to the people of God over the airwaves to share with them what God has placed on our heart. Let us pray. Gracious and everlasting, eternal Father God, what a joy, what a privilege it is to be in Christ. And we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to proclaim the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for everyone that is on this line over the airwaves. And we ask that you will send the word of the living God to the hearts of your people, that the word of God will make a difference in their life, that the word of God will heal their body, that the word of God will penetrate their spirit, their soul, their mind, that they may receive the gift of God, which is salvation. And now, Father, we ask that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Give us a heart to receive the engrafted of the living God. And Satan, we serve notice on you. You have no right on this line. Therefore, we don't ask or beg or plead of you. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority over you that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that comes to bring doubt and fear and unbelief. But as right now, you have no authority. You have no functioning right to operate. And we thank you, Father God, for liberty and freedom on this line. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We are certainly rejoicing today. It's a beautiful day. It's a day that we've never seen. It's a day that we will never see again. But it is a day that one day we will stand in the presence of Almighty God, and we will give an account of every word and every deed that is done in our body. And today, every one of us on this line, we purpose in our heart to give him glory and honor. And today, I just want to go into something that I know that many times we've heard, but we want to dissect this because the Word of God needs to be like a cow chewing its cud. You chew it, you bring it back up, and you chew it again. And there is an opportunity for lives to be changed. So often we talk about the just shall live by faith, according to Romans 1 and 17 and according to Galatians 3 and 11. But we also realize that there are two types of faith, and there is a faith that operates in the flesh, that depends upon the flesh, that depends upon men. And then there's a faith that operates out of the love and the presence and the power of God, called the God kind of faith. And we know from the very beginning that God said, let us make man. And we also know that he also said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle of the land. And we know that because of the transgression, and sometimes we say, well, you know, they ate the fruit, and because they ate the fruit, they were kicked out of the garden. But the real dilemma was not just eating the fruit. In the garden, God had given them everything, everything they needed to function, everything they needed to operate. He said, out of everything, you can eat of all the trees in the Garden of Eden. But God had to give them an opportunity to make a choice to use their will. You see, man has a body to live in, to house in. And he has a soul, which is his intellect, his emotions, his feelings. But he is a spirit. The Bible says, he that worships me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And so because we are made in his likeness and image, he expects us to represent him in our conduct, in the way we speak, in the way we live, in the way we represent him on this earth. And as a result of what Adam did, yes, he listened to his wife, he ate of a forbidden fruit, but God placed a tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge, and he said, I don't want you to eat of this tree, but every other tree you have the ability to eat. And what that allowed man to do is make a choice, to take his will and say, I will obey God. I will connect with God's will, and I will not eat of a tree that will violate the will of God. And so we find that the real dilemma was he did not cultivate and continue to remind himself of the will of God. And therefore, when his wife presented an opportunity that was presented to her by the serpent, he negated the will of God. He didn't follow and obey God's will. Therefore, it was at that point in time, he relinquished everything that God had placed within him. And we find that the defeat of man came at the choice of Adam, who was the man that God gave the command to. But when we think about it, and we all know how important the cross is so important, because it was on that cross that our Savior suffered, bled, and died. But that was just a result of what happened in the other garden. and that was the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, man was defeated in the Garden of Eden, but the victory really took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, when God's will was submitted by Jesus Christ. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so at the point of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, yielding his will, because he said himself, no man takes my life, I give it up. I could call 10,000 angels to my rescue, and he could have, but he submitted himself to the will of his Father. And because he submitted his will, he took back the authority and the power that God had given man in the original state. Now, we know that Satan is still designated as the god of this world, but thanks be to God, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. This world system does not control us, we that are born again. But because of Jesus submitting his will to the Father, it gave him the opportunity to go to the cross. It gave him the opportunity to shed his blood and redeem man back to God. It gave him an opportunity to set us free from our sin nature. And because of him saying yes to the will of God, there is a cross that caused mankind to receive his redemption. There was a tomb that allowed his body to be raised by the Father. But without the will of Jesus saying yes to his Father, there would not have been a cross. There would not have been a tomb for the resurrected Christ to come from the tomb. And so one garden defeated man, but the other Garden of Gethsemane gave man the total and complete victory. And so why am I going in this direction? Because it's the same thing that we have to understand. When God says the just shall live by faith, we have to determine what faith are we living by? What regulates that faith? And so how often have we said, oh, they're hiring down at UPS and they're paying $11 an hour. And someone tells you they're hiring at UPS. And then someone may say, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to go down there and fill out the application, but I'm not going to get that job because I'm not qualified. So what is that? That is faith in the negative. Because they heard something and they acted upon it, and as a result they spoke what they felt would happen to them, which was totally defeat in terms of what the objective was. And so often we do the same thing. Now, if you look up the word faith in the Greek, there is a Greek word called pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And pistis means belief or confidence. And so when you look that definition up, what it's really saying is faith is action that motivates your belief, or it is expectation with action. So when you begin to say, I believe I can sit down on that chair and relax. Well, you can say that all day until Jesus comes. But until you get up and you sit down on the chair, you have not acted in faith. So it takes not just believing, but it is belief with action or expectation with action following that you say you believe in. And so when we talk about the God kind of faith, we have to talk about God and his image and likeness. So if we are created in the image and likeness of God, then we need to act like God. And what was one of the greatest attributes of God? Well, we know that God is eternal. He always has been, and he always will be. He's the beginning, and he's the end. He's the Alpha, he is the Omega. But guess what? And it's not a blasphemous statement. We are too. Because everything that was created was already in the eternal heart and mind of God. It was always there. And think about it. When I was born January the 13th, 1947. But I was always in existence in the mind of God. But until he spoke me into existence, I was not manifested, but I was always there. And that's what God is an eternal God. And when you think about, he said, let us make man. Man was always in the thoughts and in the eternal plan of God. And so we, being in that same eternal plan, we have always been in the plan and purpose of God. And that's why God's plans never change. But until he spoke, we never would have come into existence. And that's the way God operates. He's a God that speaks what is already in his mind, in his plan, in his purpose, in his design, in his objectivity. And if we're in the image and likeness of God, we also have to speak those things that God has placed in our heart. We many times hear the scripture, he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean he'll give you houses and land and what you want. And then that may happen also, because if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all of these other things will be added. But what that scripture is really saying is he, Jehovah, Abba, Daddy, Papa, he will put his eternal plan and desire in your heart. And because Jesus is now in authority and power, because of his sacrifice, we just use his name and we speak the will of God into our lives to see the manifestation of those things come to pass. And so that is the God kind of faith. And so when we read about that, that the just shall live, if we're living by something, we have to cultivate it. We have to cause that we are cultivating to grow, to develop, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so tonight what I want to do, I want to share 4 points. We've shared the definition. That is, faith is active belief, or it is belief with expectation with action behind it. But then we want to go into how to ignite this faith, the faith that God wanted us to operate in was the God kind of faith, the faith that connects with the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, the design of God, the faith that operates in line with God's word. And so let me read to you the first point that I want to bring out, and that is activating the God kind of faith. And that's taken from James, the first chapter, in the 19th verse. And it says, "Wherefore, my beloved," he's talking to the saints, he's talking to the people of God, he's talking to those that he has washed and cleansed and purified. He said, "Beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Now, I want to ask you a question. Who's speaking into your life? Who are you allowing continually to speak into your life? That is so important, saints of God, because whoever is speaking into your life will impact your spirit. And there are so many people that are speaking death into our lives. They're speaking doubt in our lives. They're speaking unbelief in our lives. Even in many so-called churches, they're giving us politics. They're giving us the latest news. They're giving us all kinds of things, but they're not giving us the word of the living God. And so we come to people and we share our dreams, our visions that God has placed in us. And they say, "Child, you can't do that. You know you don't have the education to do that. You know you haven't been trained. You know the white man's not going to let you do that." So what happens is, we are allowing negativity, which will produce faith, but it's not the God kind of faith. And just like I gave the illustration, oh, they're hiring down there. Oh, well, I will go down there, but I know I'm not going to get hired because I'm not qualified. I know they're not going to hire me because I'm black. You see, so you have spoken something, and you have acted on it, and it will come to pass. The Bible said, "By your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned." And so where we have fallen short at, we have to evaluate. Every time we take communion, I like to take communion almost every day of my life, because the Bible said, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. And when you take communion, the Bible says, let a man, woman, boy, girl examine himself. Every day we need to examine ourselves. Who are we hearing? Who are we listening to? Who is talking and speaking into our lives? Is it something that will develop the God kind of faith? Or is it something that will destroy my family, destroy my marriage, destroy my finances? What am I listening to? Who is speaking into my life? So the Bible says, be swift to hear. In other words, be quick to grasp what is being spoken into your life and evaluate it. Is this something that will bring life to me? Is this something that will cause my life to be more like Jesus? And so that's why the Bible wants you to be swift to hear, so you can evaluate who is it speaking into your life. What are they speaking? And then it goes on to say, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Before you speak something, ask yourself, is this going to bring life? Is this truth? Or is it gossip? Is it backbiting? Is it a third-hand lie? The first lie was passed to the second lie, and now I'm about to tell the third lie because I don't know whether it's truth or not. So don't be so quick to say what somebody says. And I know the doctors are here to bring us all the help they can, but many times they'll tell us, you just have a little short time to live. They'll tell you there's no hope. And then you'll go out and tell everybody, the doctors say I have no hope. I'll only live for a short period of time. So what are you saying? What are you doing with the things that you hear? Are you evaluating them? Or do you just speak it out before allowing yourself to say, this is not the truth. This is not what God says. This is not what God intended for my life. He doesn't want me broke. He doesn't want me sick. He doesn't want my marriage destroyed. He doesn't want me in a dilemma or confusion. Don't speak anything until you have allowed yourself to evaluate what you have heard. Who are you hearing this from? And then it says, this is going to initiate either a negative faith or the God kind of faith. Then it goes on to say, be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Why does it bring out the word wrath? Because what gets into your spirit will cause how you react, how you respond. What you continue to say and meditate on will cause action to bring forth in your physical body. And you can just continue to say, I can't stand her. You know, something about her, I just don't like it. And after a while, you keep saying that, and when she gets around, something kicks up on the inside called hate, jealousy, malice, strife. And it's the same way with what you take in, what you hear. If it's not the God kind of faith, if it's not truth, what will kick in will allow you to continue to, well, I just don't have anything. I'm just broke. I'm just sick. I can't make it. And just like wrath will come in, poverty will come in, lack will come in, hatred will come in, malice will come in, strife will come in, sickness will come in, disease will come in. Because what you hear will ignite what you say, and what you say will bring action in your physical body that will produce either life or death, because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. So we have to be first aware that what we hear will begin to affect what we say, and what we say will affect how we act, and it will either bring life or death. And so here we have the initial way of activating faith. Now, the next thing I want to do is find out what qualifies faith. What actually qualifies faith? And let's look at Romans, the 10th chapter, and the 8th verse. And it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Now, the God kind of faith requires you to speak. It requires you to say something. And what are you to say? What is nigh thee? What is near thee? What is even in thy mouth? What have you been meditating on? What have you been reading? What have you been studying? What kind of songs have you been singing? Have you been singing sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level to the ground? What have you been singing? What have you been meditating on? So what we are challenging you to do in order to activate and cultivate the God kind of faith, find out what you've been listening to, what you've been hearing. Study the word. Meditate on the word. Pray the word. Sing songs that are word-oriented, that are word-based, Don't sing songs that are doubting, moaning, and groaning, and I can't make it, and I'm sometimes. Don't listen to people that are saying you have to be sick, you have to sin every day. If you have to sin every day, I don't want you around my children. I don't want you around me. You see, we have to draw nigh to the Word of God. We have to draw nigh to things that are lining up with the Word. And the more we attach ourselves, the more we meditate, the more we praise God and honor God concerning His Word, the more we will find ourselves in a situation where we are speaking the Word of God. And that's what God did. He said, light, come forth. Light, come forth. Light was already in him. All he had to do was speak the word. That's all he had to do, because it was already in him. What is nigh you, what is in your heart, it's there. You've been meditating on it. You've been reading it. You've been studying it. You've been listening to it. Now, all God requires is for you to just begin to speak. I don't care what the doctors say. By his stripes I'm healed. He took my infirmity. He bore my sickness on the cross. I don't care what the bank book says, 0.00. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. He's opening up the windows of heaven for me. He's pouring me out blessings. Jesus became poor that I might become rich. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither their seed begging bread. It's time for us to draw nigh to the Word of God until it gets down on the inside of our spirit. It's not just a logo, it's a rhema. It's a rhema word. It's a word that is attached to our spirit. And we begin to respond. And everything that is not like God, we refuse to accept it. We refuse to speak it. But it's time. It is time for us, the saints of God, to draw nigh and speak those things that are in our heart. Speak those things that are in our spirit. And we will see the power of God released. And then it goes on to say, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's the word of faith that comes from the heart of God to the heart of man. It's the word of faith that gets on the inside of us. And that creates the image of God. The image of God, nobody has an image of God being broke. Nobody has an image of God being sick. Nobody has an image of God being anything other than love. So when we begin to receive the word of faith, which is a word that comes from God, and it becomes a rhema, not just a logos, not just something in your intellect, and it gets on the inside of your heart, you then begin to speak it. And I don't care if it doesn't come to pass immediately. As far as God is concerned, it's already done. And at the appointed time of manifestation, it will be manifested. And so this is required to cultivate the word of faith, which will activate the God kind of faith. We have to draw nigh to the word. We have to meditate on the word. We have to hear the word over and over and over again until it becomes a part of our spirit, man. And when it becomes a part of our spirit, man, we will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that this thing is real. Because we will begin to speak it, and we will see the manifestation of God's word come to pass. We'll see our healing. We'll see our children saved. We'll see prosperity from God flow like a mighty river. Now, the next thing I want to do is give you an illustration from the Word of God. And that's found in Mark 11, 12 through 14. Mark 11, 12 through 14. So I'm going to read that for you right now. And it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet." In other words, Jesus is letting us know here, when I'm operating, I don't go by seasons. I don't go by the ordinary. I know it's not time for the figs to produce, but listen, I know that the economy is going through a dilemma, but listen, I've got God in my life, and I'm expecting productivity. I know that everyone that hears about cancer prepares themselves to die, but I'm not operated by the season. I'm not operating by what people think or how they feel or what should be. When I come around, I expect productivity. I expect God to do what he says he's going to do. And so here we have Jesus, who knew very well it wasn't the season. But Jesus expected productivity. And if we continue to draw nigh to the word, if we continue to hear the word, if we continue to meditate on the word, I don't care what season it is. I don't care if everybody says there's no jobs. I don't care if everybody says the gas is so high you can't fill your tank. God will produce in your life. God is expecting productivity. And so listen at what happened next. "And seeing the fig tree, far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereof. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of fig was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it," he's speaking to the tree. He said, "If you say to yonder's mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart, but believe those things that you say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So here he is speaking to a tree. We can speak to cancer. We can speak to poverty. We can speak to lack. We can speak to broken relationships. And if what you say is in your heart in line with the word of God, you can expect manifestation. And so he said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." Did you hear that? In other words, he cursed the fig tree. He said, "Because you did not produce, nobody, if I can't eat off of you, nobody's going to eat off of you." And when he spoke that, he spoke it with a belief that it was already done. And that's the God kind of faith. When you get a word from the Lord and it gets on the inside of your spirit and you begin to speak it, you believe with great expectation that it will come to pass. And I'm just so happy today that God has put us in a position to operate like he operates. "Let there be," and it was. "Lazarus, come forth." "Wind, peace, be still." "Water, turn to wine." We have that same capability because we were made in the image and likeness of God. And now I want to show you the results. I want to show you the results of what we have just gone over, and I'm going to close. The result was found in Mark 20 and 21. Mark 20 and 21. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Listen to that. One day he spoke it, and the next day it was manifested. Because what he spoke was in his heart, and he knew it would come to pass. So I just challenge each and every one of us on this line. Know what faith is. It's not just belief, but it is an active belief. It is expectation with action. But to have the God kind of faith, you have to activate that faith with the Word of God. You have to know that God's Word is what it is, and there's nothing that can oppose the Word of the living God. And after you have spoken that Word, you can expect it already done. It may be manifested the next day, the next month, the next year. But what happens is, listen to me carefully, what happens is this is the time and the day that we have to know that God is in control. God is in control. There's nothing impossible for God. When you have his word on the inside and you begin to speak his word and know that he cannot lie and you represent him on the earth, and when you say he is the Lord that healeth thee, that means you're already healed. It's blasphemy to ask God to heal you because you're questioning him as the healer. Don't ask him to heal you because he's already said, I am the healer. He said, so just tell him, Father, I just thank you that by your stripes I'm already healed. Because you said you are Jehovah Rapha, you are the healer. Don't be begging God for something when he's already said it. He said, I supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. So when you begin to speak, say, Father God, I thank you for the angelic warring angels that will go forth on my behalf, bringing in from the north, south, east, and west, because you have already supplied my needs. And I'm just thanking you for my needs being met. And I speak it into existence because it's already in my spirit. I'm going to pray that for you that have loved ones that are not saved, you that are on this line that are not born again, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, he said, you shall be saved. And if you do that, if you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're tired of living in sin, you're tired of being bound by the demons and devils that have come to destroy your spirit, your soul, your mind, and your body, you can say, Lord, I'm tired. And I know that Jesus Christ has already given his life, shed his blood, redeemed me. He became my substitutionary sacrifice. And I believe God, Abba, Daddy, Papa, has raised him from the dead. And I receive that sacrifice. And I invite him into my life, into my heart, as my Savior, as my Lord. You shall be saved. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, everyone on this line that is not born again, every loved one, every relative that we have that has not received Jesus Christ, Father, I speak right now that they will not leave this world without salvation. Because they will open up their heart, as you said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray that the God of the harvest will send laborers into the vineyard. And Father, I just thank you right now as I speak, each and every one on this line that has not received Jesus Christ will receive him right now as their personal Lord and Savior by opening up their hearts. and opening up their mouth and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You suffered, bled, and died for the remission of my sins. And I received that sacrifice on my behalf. And I right now am a child of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Back in your hands, evangelist. Back in your hands.
Glory to God. What a word Bishop has brought forth tonight. And one of my favorite scriptures. When Jesus cursed the fig tree. And he said that we can speak to the mountains and our life, make it be cast into the sea. What a word from God. If you are on anyone on the line or the internet, if you know someone that needs to hear this message, they can always log on to Blog Talk Radio and type in Bishop Odell McFarlane III. And any word that he has preached over the line will come up, and just look for today's date. And if you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can go to www.kingdomdaughters1@yahoo.com and let us know. We would like to send you a Bible, or we would send you an MP3 Bible audio. Glory be to God. And just let us know. We would like to pray for you if you need prayer, and stand in your faith fight with you, because we have to stand. Hallelujah, Jesus. And God is so faithful. Glory to God. And men of God, I just thank you. I thank God for what he is doing in the lives of his believers. Bishop say you got to have that word in you. You got to have that word in you. Then whatever you ask, bear witness to your spirit. Glory to God. Men of God, I have a brief testimony. Then I just have one prayer request, and then we're going to be off the line. Glory to God. As everyone know, I supposed to have been moving to Mississippi. But my grandfather got sick. And before then, I would come to where he lived at and cook for him, because if he cook, he'll burn stuff. And then once he got sick, I was like, okay, God, I can't go to Mississippi and leave Grandpa. And so the prophetess who ministry, I suppose, been going under in Mississippi, she said, are you still coming? I say, this is not the season, because right now I can't leave my grandfather. And so now the doctor says he has throat cancer. And so he went through the he started the radiation. And I said, you know what, Grandpa, I'm going to come and be with you. So I left my home, put my stuff in storage, packed me some suitcases, and moved in with my grandfather. And what are we truly willing to do, to sacrifice for somebody else in need? Because it's truly not about us anyway. It's about what God wants you to do. So I asked Grandpa, have you ever called on Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, yes, I used to be in the Mississippi Gospel Quartet and da 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 da. I was like, okay. So he had 3 days of radiation. Then last Saturday, he just started losing some of his functions, and he had a boil on his neck. By Monday when I took him to the hospital, if you take 3 graham crackers and put them together, it was that long and that wide on his neck. So I bought the oil, and I prayed for him, and I prayed that it would go down, and I'm still praying against the radiation, which they had to stop. So Friday they had to do surgery on him because none of the antibiotics or anything would work. I was like, okay, God, I'm still believing you. And so where he lives at, if he's not in the apartment, he don't supposed to have no one in his apartment. So I was like, God, I done packed up all my stuff, Grandpa in the hospital, so now I got to pack up and go someplace else. I went to the head of the building, and she said, you don't have to leave. by Tuesday, I was so mentally and physically drained from running to the hospital and seeing about Grandpa, I cried tears of joy. Thank you, God, for favor. I said, but security ain't going to let me in the building. She typed a letter and put it on security. She can get in the building whenever she wants. Glory be to God. And I went to sleep after that. God watches out for his people. Now I'm here with a bunch of senior citizens, loving on them. We can't forget about our mothers and fathers and grandfathers. As they get older, they tell me, you always here. Our people come Thanksgiving and Christmas. We can't put them somewhere and forget about them. We still have to love on them. Glory be to God. So that's my testimony, that she said you can stay here. You don't have to leave. God will give you favor because it's not about us. It's all about him. So they had to stop the radiation completely. I'm believing when they go back and look at his neck, there will be no more cancer. I'm believing that, Bishop, for my grandfather, so he can see the miracle working hands of God in his life and go tell somebody here. Glory be to God. So right now, man of God, I just want you to come in agreement with me. His name is Woodrow Bailey.
I will right now.
Yes.
Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what a joy, what a privilege it is to come to such a loving Father who allowed his Son to be brought on the cross, given as a sacrifice, allowed his Son to bear 39 stripes on his back for the healing body. And we bring this precious soul to you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we come in agreement right now that every stripe that was laid upon the back of your Son is for the healing of his body right now.
Now,
sending that word of the living God, the word that is quick, the word that is powerful, the word that is sharper, the sharper than any sickness, any disease, any infirmity. In his body. Send that word.
Touch him right now, Jesus. Send the word right now.
From his head to the sole of his feet.
Yes.
The healing that was provided, the Son of the living God, Jehovah Rapha, is flowing through every cell in his body. And we speak to that cancer. We speak to that. And we curse it to the root.
Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus.
The Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we call him healed. We call him delivered. We call him set free. The power of God. By the anointing of God, by the strength of God, by the ability of God. And Satan, we come right now and serve notice.
You
have no authority on this.
You
have no authority. Jesus stripped you. He made the show of you openly. And we pray in the name of Jesus. We take authority over you right now.
We
curse every system, every lie that is operating in our uncle's body now. Say to the Lord, the blood of
Jesus
Christ.
Hallelujah.
And that you release your hold on him. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus'
name. You told the truth. By your stripes he is healed. From the top of his head to the sole of his feet. In Jesus' name. Anything in your name, you said it's done. All of us on this line, we stand in agreement that the word of God is right. And all of his works are done in truth. We call him healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. And glory to God. Honey, so cool. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
God.
We're looking for him to come on this line and tell the story.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bishop, do you have any closing remarks before I close out?
The only remarks I have is if each and every one of us cultivate the faith of the living God in our lives, there is nothing impossible that God has promised us in his word. And I want to thank you, Evangelist, for inviting me to take this word all over the airwaves. I want to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your day to receive the engrafted word of God. We love you. You are always welcome at 4100 Maple Avenue in Madison, Illinois. We are a friendly church that believes in the word of God, and we love God with all of our heart, and you're always welcome. Once you come, you will never be a visitor again. It will always be your home away from home. It's back at Kansas.
Yes, glory to God. And the bishop will be on Sunday, May 20th at 7 p.m. That's the third Sunday in May also. If you go back and listen to the program and you click on follow, anytime that he's on Blog Talk will automatically email you when the man of God is coming on. Glory to God. And I thank you again, Bishop. And right now I just plead the blood of Jesus over you, God, Bishop. And I just thank God for you. And I pray that all that you pulled out, that you will get back double in the mighty name of Jesus. I bind the backlash and retaliation from the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you that no weapon formed against the bishop shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for your warfare angels, God, warfare over the men of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Hey, go pull into the men of God what he released out. Pour into the men of God what he released out in his church, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Restore her onto him a double portion, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hey, Cody Shakata, and we thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. Hey, Koromasata. And we thank you for the hedge of protection around the men of God. Hey, Koromasata. And I thank you, Lord God, for the saints of God poured into the men of God life. Hey, go. Because it's a blessing to hand it. When you bless the bishop, you're going to be blessed. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you all the praises and all the glory and all the honor, God. All the praises and honor and glory, God, go to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen, and glory to God. And Kingdom Builders International, love you. We send a shout out to Prophetess Teresa, the founder of Kingdom Builders International. Glory be to God. And we thank God, and good night, and amen.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. You are so welcome, man of God. Glory to God.
Give myself away. I give myself away.